Praise Yahweh, and welcome to the Sound of YahwehYahweh.name. Today we're going to be talking a little bit about the feasts of 2016, Pesach, 7 days in the beautiful mountain town of Yale, Camp White Branch, and the things we discussed, the music we sang, talking about the weather up there that was always moderate and not too hot, not too cold, and above all, the scriptures, as we could start out today with Ephesians chapter 2, which we studied during the Feast of Pesach, with all the brothers around, and Hezekiah was the speaker who was sharing this, and he said in Ephesians 2, 11 through 19, "Therefore remember that you were once people of the nations in the flesh, that at that time you were without Messiah, being foreigners from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without Yahweh in this world." That's in Ephesians, talking to the Ephesians. "But now in the Messiah Yeshua," or Yasha, as we say here, "you were once afar off. You who once were afar off have now been made near, or nigh, by the blood of Messiah. For Yasha himself is our shalom, who has made us one and has taken down the Soreg wall, or the wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh that hostility created by the law of commandments contained in civil man-made ordinances." Once again, created by the law of commandments contained in civil man-made ordinances, so as to create in himself from the two people only one new man, creating shalom. Verse 2:15 again, "having abolished in his flesh that hostility created by the law of commandments contained in civil man-made ordinances, so as to create in himself from the two peoples one new man, creating shalom," or peace, "so that he might reconcile us both to Yahweh in one body through the execution stake, by putting to death the hostility between us. For this reason, the message of shalom that Yasha preached was for you who were afar off, and as well as to us who are near. And as such, through him all have access to the Father through the same Spirit, the same Ruach. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the set-apart ones and members of the household of Yahweh, having been built upon the foundation laid by the apostles or emissaries and prophets. Yasha himself has become the chief cornerstone. Through him, and through whom the whole building is being joined together to grow into a set-apart temple in him, in whom you also are being built up together in as a dwelling place for Yahweh," or Yahweh, "in the Ruach, in the Spirit." And one interpretation of that wall of separation, the middle wall of partition, "but now in Messiah, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Messiah," or "you are being made nigh into the covenant by the blood of Messiah. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh." Now I'll read it first as the King James and then take out the added words. "Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto Yahweh in one body by the Calvary stake, having slain the enmity thereby." And then taking out the added words that were in italics in the popular version, such as King James, "having abolished in his flesh the enmity against the law of commandments in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace." And in fact, that he does make us one new person. We have new life in Messiah to rise up and say, Hallel, praise Yahweh, Ephesians 4:24 and 23. "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man," which after Yahweh is created in righteousness and being true in being set apart truly. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. So put on the new man, which after Yahweh is created in righteousness, and Kodesh, or true separation, true pureness there. For that, we started at Ephesians chapter 2, the middle wall of partition. Okay, going back to Romans 17 for a moment. Romans chapter 7, verse 14, excuse me. And praise Yahweh that he may bless this message today. Talking about the law, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. That's found in Romans 7:14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Paul said that. And he also said that I delight in the law of Yahweh after the inward man. He agreed with David, the Psalm of David. Let's go to verse 22. I delight in the law of Yahweh after the inward man. And then there are quite a few types of laws mentioned here. There's sacrificial, ceremonial, moral, and the law of love, the first four commandments, the law of loving our neighbor, commandments, the last six commandments there, and the Ten Commandments. So he did not abolish that, the Ten Commandments. He didn't abolish laws of being pure, that is the ceremonial laws, but he did abolish the sacrificial laws having to do the added law. That was the death penalty or having to offer up animal sacrifices. That's what Messiah abolished and replaced when he came to earth. When the Father sent his only Son, Yahushua Messiah, to save us by the blood of Messiah. And we're blessed to have others around us. In the tent of meeting there, it was a nice tabernacle. Two wonderful fireplaces there that we could, and then go into a kitchenette, and there was a wood stove in there that was all fired up, and a nice, comfortable, warm atmosphere. And then outside, it was just always gentle, mild, and as far as warmth, maybe moderate, perhaps up to temperatures in the 60s Fahrenheit. So it was just a wonderful week of praising Yahweh. There was a little bit of rain from time to time, a little bit of blessing there from time to time. Now let's look at Leviticus or Vayikra chapter 26. And it says, you shall make no idols nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up an image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am Yahweh, your mighty one. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my set-apart place, my Mikodesh, or the common word sanctuary. I am Yahweh. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you the rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Your threshing floor shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. I'll give you peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land, and you shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword. And five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight, and your enemies shall fall before you by the sword. See also Deuteronomy 32:30. For I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you, make you fruitful. You shall eat old store, and bring forth the old because of the new, and I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and be your Elohim, and you shall be my people. I am Yahweh, your mighty one, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, and you should not be their bondmen. And I have broken the bands of your yoke, and made you go upright. But if you would not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant, I will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror, consumption, and the burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I'll set my face against you, and you shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when none pursueth you. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you 7 times more for your sins. And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron, and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. Yes, friends, we are coming into the drought here in the western United States with all our prosperity and leisure. 21, and if you walk contrary unto me, and will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. Moses here speaking in 24, verse 3 of Exodus. Moses came and told the people all the words of Yahweh, all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which Yahweh has said will we do. In other words, they intended to obey them. And Moses wrote all the words of Yahweh and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill, 12 pillars, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And let's look at later here. Verse 11, and upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw Yahweh and did eat and drink. They saw. Verse 9, Then Moses went up. They went up, Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw Yahusha. They saw Yahweh of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, and as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw Yahweh and did eat and drink. And Yahweh said unto Moses, come up to me into the mount, and be there, and I will give thee tables of stone, and a law and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. Here I believe he's speaking not of the law of sacrifices, the added law, but of the law of the Ten Commandments, as we often refer to it as the Torah. And 25, that's chapter 25 of Exodus, or Bereshit. Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, they that bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, he shall take my offering. This is the offering which you shall take of them, and then it explains that. And talking about the ark here, the mercy seat, and so on. And that's all found here in the 25th chapter of Exodus. So, they'll move on to chapter 26, verse 1. Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue and purple and scarlet, with cherubims of cunning work shalt thou make them. And then the measurements of the curtains there and the loops. Go on. And then let's go down here to about rearing up the tabernacle in verse 26. That's chapter 26, verse 30. Thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof which was showed thee in the mount. Thou shalt make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twined linen of cunning work. With cherubims shall it be made. Now, making a veil of blue and purple. Thou shalt hang it upon 4 pillars of shittim wood, overlaid with gold. Their hooks shall be of gold upon the 4 sockets of silver. And thou shalt hang up the veil under the attaches, that thou mayest bring in hither, or rather bring in thither within the veil, the ark of the testimony, the ark of the covenant. And the veil shall divide unto you between the separated place and the most separated place, or commonly called the most holy place. Also found there, we were reading about this veil in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, where the veil was rent. Now, this is not the Soreg wall, but that was due to Jewish tradition, the Soreg wall was later added, and then there was a sign that was said to read, Gentiles do not enter beyond this veil under penalty of death. So that was a man-made tradition that I believe that our Messiah did away with, that man-made tradition. And that veil was probably rent too at the time of Messiah's death there in Luke chapter 25 and Matthew 27. So he said that this veil shall divide unto you, not the Soreg wall, but the middle wall of partition here we're speaking of. The veil shall divide unto you between the separated place and the most separated place. And thou shalt put the mercy seat upon the ark of the covenant in the most separated place. Then also in chapter 27, we'll read a little bit about this veil here and the courts. Chapter 27 of Exodus, the hanging in 14, the hangings of one side of the gate shall be 15 cubits, their pillars 3, and their sockets 3, and on the other side shall be hangings 15 cubits, their pillars 3, and their sockets 3. And for the gate of the court shall be a hanging of 20 cubits of blue and purple and scarlet and fine twinned linen, wrought with needlework, and their pillars shall be 4, and their sockets 4. Verse 21, in the tabernacle of the congregation without the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall order it from even to morning before Yahweh. It shall be a statute forever unto their generations on behalf of the children of Yisrael. And it gives the names of some of the tribes in this book here of Exodus, and more instructions in the testimony of Yahweh. It talks about the Urim and the Thummim in chapter 28, verses 29 and 30, and thereabouts. Okay. So then in Luke, chapter 23, verse 45, and starting at 43, and Yahusha, Messiah, said unto them, Verily I say unto you today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. Notice that Messiah didn't die and go back to paradise. He went to the grave that day. He went that night, 3 nights and 3 days in the heart of the earth, Matthew 12:40. So verily, today I say unto thee, thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. So that would correspond to the sixth hour being noon, the ninth hour being around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. From the sixth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. So it doesn't say which veil was rent, but we assumed it was the middle wall of partition, and of what we had read there earlier in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Well, we need to make a reference there at this point in our scriptures to put down Ephesians, EPH 2, I think it's verse 14. Anyway, it's very close to that citation we had there earlier in this broadcast. Let's go to one more for a witness there in Matthew chapter 27 and find that part in the impalement account there. Let's start about verse 49, 27:49. And the rest said, Let be, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And incidentally, in Mark 15, they thrust in the spear and out came water and blood in Mark 15:36. So here we are in verse 50 now. Messiah, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the emissaries which slept arose. And many, many bodies of the saints there, it says in King James. Also see that in that David is still his tomb, and still dead and buried in Acts chapter 2, verse 34. These 500 that came out of the graves approximately were never to be seen again, so it's assumed that they went back to a natural death once again. But they came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the city and appeared unto many. So that's the account so far. The middle wall of partition in Isaiah 53, where he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. Surely the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now, we have not been healed by Israel at all, the rebellious nation, Ephraim representing Israel. This day, as we are scattered all over the earth, particularly in Northern America, where we are very lukewarm, or at the best, moderate in heart believers who are so busy that entertainment even is a greater priority than praising Yahweh and Scripture. Proverbs chapter 2, "My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commandments with thee," Solomon wrote there. In chapter 3, he writes, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. My son, despise not the chastening of Yahweh, neither be weary of his correction." The word son is being used here in Proverbs 3:1 and 3:11. In chapter 5:1 of Proverbs 5:1, my son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding." So he's speaking to you, whether you're a son or a daughter. Chapter 6:1, "My son, if thou be surety for your friend," if you have strick in your hand, go to 7 here. "My son, keep my words, lay up my commandments with thee." Then in Proverbs 13:1, "A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke." So there are a number of problems with, of course, with today's traditional religions around, but many are striving and struggling to serve Yahweh and to know him as much as possible within the time that has been allowed to them, or the time that they allow in their schedules. But they, or we, really do need to dedicate a little bit more time than 45 minutes a week, or a few moments on Wednesday night. Well, millions and millions have died for the truth, and died for even for the truth that Yahweh was born of a virgin, lived a life for us, to leave us an example, to die on the tree at Calvary, to be afflicted and smitten and stricken, and hung on the tree at Calvary on the gnarly stake there, and then it was put in the grave 3 nights and 3 days. And that many have died for that truth. Many have died for the scriptures, in the publishing of the scriptures and translating them into English. We thank Gutenberg and for having made the printing press, and for the many great martyrs who died in the work there. Martin Luther and so on, many others who died for the truth, for the protecting the scriptures, for publishing it, for giving it, passing it on, and then now, of course, now many have benefited. Millions of people have benefited from the scriptures. We are transformed by the truth. And even though some of us are still in kindergarten, using a few common names for Yahweh and the Father, and for Yahushua the Son, they use different common names. And some of them do the practices of pagans, like Roman New Year, Saturnalia, the Christian festival, putting their god into a cradle where he will be harmless while they play their funny games. The beat goes on, and Halloween and so forth. Jeremiah 10 says, "Learn not the way of the heathen." But still, Yahweh can forgive us, and he will provide a way. He will provide an open mind and openness for us to come before him and to dedicate our lives and our whole life, our ministry to him. And he's going to sweep all of that away and wash it away, so that our sins though they be red as scarlet, will be white as snow someday. He will fill us with knowledge and with his righteous servant, Yahusha. He said, by my righteous servant, he shall justify many. No, we can't put Israel there in Isaiah 53. And the prophetic account, right, the prophetic account of Messiah's death on the tree at Calvary. We can't substitute and put Israel in there in the place of Messiah, the Son, the Governor, the King of Kings, the one who's prophesied in Isaiah 9 and many other chapters back there in the Isaiah and throughout Scripture and the Minor Prophets. The King of Kings historically rose from the grave, not on Ishtar morning, but he died in Aviv 14 and arose Aviv 17. That's 14 through 17, through the end of the day of 17, inclusive days and nights and days after his prophesied death in Isaiah 53. So we praise him for that, that he set us free. He set us free from the breaking of the law. He didn't set us free from the law. That's really insane. If he set us free from the standard, from his righteous standard of the Ten Commandments, and the statutes, and the judgments, then he would be very inconsistent. He didn't give the law to his people to see if they could obey it, and knowing that they were going to disobey it anyway. And so the only reason that the law is there, some preachers say, erroneously, is that the law was there just to show us that we couldn't keep the law. He gave us the law so to show us we couldn't keep it. He gave us a lofty standard that was just too high. And so then he said, well, here's my son. He can keep the law in your place. No, that's nonsense. And that lie or that false doctrine or whatever has been spread around the world. So we're being set free by the Messiah, being set free by his spirit and the giving of the law to show a difference between the clean and the unclean. Leviticus 11:47, to make a difference between the unclean and the clean, between the beast that may be eaten and the beast that may not be eaten. Also back in Genesis, the unclean animals were only loaded on the ark by twos, on the Noah's ark, and the clean animals, because some of them would be sacrificed, they were loaded on in not by pairs, but by sevens. The Hollywood movies are somewhat inaccurate or deceptive there. They show all the animals going in by pairs. And then there would only be enough room for two of every unclean beast, a male and a female beast. There. So at the feast of Pesach, we learned how to be set free by trusting in the shed blood of Messiah. The Messiah shed his blood, his body and blood for us, for our life, for the sins of the whole nation, if they would repent. John 3:16, for Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, not will not, but should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then we read the rest of that chapter, John chapter 3, and we find out much more truth. But Ezekiel 19 through 21, let's do this. I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and will take the stony heart of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh. I'll put a new spirit within you there. The new covenant is found in Jeremiah and Jeremiah 31, and also Hebrews 10 and Hebrews 8, verse 10, that I will write my laws in your heart and mind, and then you'll forget them, right? No, yeah. I will write my law, or my Torah, not my sacrificial law, but the moral law, the ceremonial law, the law of loving Yahweh first and thy neighbor last. I will write those laws in your mind and heart. So, okay, I think I got interrupted here, though. Ezekiel 11:19, I will give them one heart and will put a new spirit within you, and will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk. So why does he do this? That they may walk in my statutes. Is that legalism or what? Huh? No. But that's what they would say it was. But here it is, and Yahweh, he's saying it themselves as I interject. They that may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, they shall be my people, and I will be their Elohim. But as for them whose heart walks after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith Yahweh Elohim. As for them whose heart walks after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations. Now Genesis 50, verse 2, 50, verse 20. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but Yahweh meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. That was Genesis 50. Then in the Tehillim, or Psalms 124. Oh yes, you have Yahweh on your side, even though the enemy has tried already to destroy you. And I don't know how it is, because I haven't had it that hard. I've had some persecution. Psalm 124, 1. If it had not been Yahweh who was on our side, now may Yisrael say, if it had not been Yahweh who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quickly when their wrath was kindled against us. Yes. Oh, praise Yahweh, who is the maker of heaven and earth, the creator of it all. We saw a lot of creation at the feast day, eight days altogether. I think we were there eight or nine days at the Feast of Pesach. What a wonderful time, and a wonderful time it is to be in Yahweh's presence. Oh, yes, praise his name for giving us the privilege of attending his feasts. You know, his judgments in Exodus 23 include the three traveling feast days, the pilgrimage feast. It says, go up to keep the feast. Go up to keep that feast. Don't go up upstairs necessarily, but go out somewhere. If you live in the Bronx, get on that one train there that takes you kind of to a sort of an end of the line. Then you can get a bus or taxi or something, and there's a beautiful park, and you can just walk for blocks and blocks and blocks, as it seems like, till you get tired. Talk to people, take along the scriptures, maybe an MP3 player or something. You can listen to some uplifting music, some good Mosey Lister singers. Oh, what does the word fulfilled mean? We have a question here. The word fulfilled means to make full. The Torah is fulfilled. Your obedience is fulfilled. It is made full. All the Torah, the 1,000 years are fulfilled. Are they all filled full in your life? Well, no. The 1,000 years being with Messiah, we're looking forward to having him fill that quite full in our lives, to be with him. The Rose of Sharon, worshiping around the throne. Praise Yahweh. And that the 1,000 years shall be fulfilled someday. Revelation 20, verse 3. They won't be ended and done away with until the last. But they'll be fulfilled during that time. All the law is fulfilled in one word. Thou shalt love thy neighbor. Actually, love Yahweh and then love thy neighbor. Galatians 5, 14. When your obedience is fulfilled. 2 Corinthians 10, 6. And the Torah fulfilled in us, or the law is fulfilled in us, Romans 8:4. It also says in 8:7, for the carnal mind is enmity against Yahweh. It is not subject to the law of Yahweh, neither indeed can be. It's not subject to the Torah of Yahweh. That Yahweh's law is not burdensome. Oh yes, we shouldn't be shameful in thinking that his law is some kind of a judgment, a punishment on us to go out and for example, keep the feast days and be ministered to and maybe fall asleep for a little bit during a service, get a little rest there. But as we talk about Calvary and so on and about eternity, and it's not burdensome to be eating and drinking unless we overdo it. If we're a glutton, then we are punishing ourselves, and later on we'll incur that problem there about overeating, and then the law of gravity will take over. The law of gravity, oh yes, even If you're a high line walker, we saw a guy walk a high line web, a green web, and he walked over a waterfall, a raging torrent called the McKenzie River. And then his partner, Lucas, his name was Marcus, and then his partner, Lucas, and they walked over that for 3 hours. And we got some videos of that by one of the brethren. But we don't want to be negligent to be there and meet with Yahweh's wonderful people when that roll call is called up in eternity or here on earth for the pure convocations for Pesach or Passover, for the celebration of Shavuot or Pentecost or First Fruits or the Feast of Weeks. Count 49 days from the Sabbath day and keep First Fruits. Is one of the teachings we're studying there and have been. Ezekiah is studying that too in his a book, and here is on his website, Time and Eternity, a Chronological Study of the Eschatology and Timelines of Scripture. Our relationship, do we have a weak relationship with Yahweh or apathetic relationship with other people? Do we fear Yahweh and keep his commandments? For this is the whole of man, it says there. In Ecclesiastes. It also says in Malachi, the last chapter of Malachi, that, remember the commandments. Remember the commandments and the statutes and the ordinances. That's the page before we turn to Matthew chapter 1. Remember the law of Moses and those great jewels that Yahweh will collect together. He's going to collect us and assemble us all together to love him. Hallel, praise to Yahweh. Then we'll go to the book of the Revelation next, before we come back there, talking about the new man for a moment. But this is in the relation to the middle wall of partition that was brought down when Messiah died there in Luke 23. Okay, but I'm talking about Revelation chapter 11. Verse 1, there was given me a rod like unto a, or rather given me a reed like unto a rod, and the messenger stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of Yahweh, and the altar, and them that praise therein. But the court, which is without the temple, leave out. There's the outer court and the inner court, of course. But the court, which is without the temple, leave out, and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles. And the separated city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Look also in Luke 21:24 about that treading down the city. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before Yahweh of the earth. Once again in Revelation 11:2, but the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the separated city shall they tread under foot 42 and 2 months, or rather 40 and 2 months. We sang songs at the feast like, Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? And there is power in the blood. We sang a lot of other extra ones too, that about the Sabbath day that I'd never heard of before. And some of the words to that washed in the blood go, Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean, O be washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's by Reverend Elisha H. A. Hoffman. There, washed in the blood, and it was just a time of caring about others too, and praying for their needs, and ministering, and focusing or concentrating on some problem areas in our lives, getting that leaven out of our lives, the leaven of malice and wickedness, and replacing it by Messiah's help, of course, by His Spirit, with the bread of the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And he brightened our lives, brightened the corners where we are, where we live, and we returned back to our regular, mundane, routine surroundings. But we still think about Yahweh every moment, hopefully, or, you know, that someday we will dwell physically in His presence, right now spiritually only. And the scriptures that deal with traveling to the feasts, the Feast of Passover, Exodus 23:17, three times in the year all thy males shall appear before Yahweh Elohim, and then later it specifies the whole family, as well as the helpers, the servants. Deuteronomy 12:5 says, but unto the place which Yahweh your Elohim shall choose out of all your tribes to put his name there, even unto his habitation shall you seek, and thither shalt thou come. Need to capitalize the pronoun his. Deuteronomy 14, and if the way be too long for you, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far, which Yahweh thy Elohim shall choose to set his name there, when Yahweh thy Elohim has blessed thee, then shalt thou turn it into money, and bind up the money in thy hand, and shalt go into the place which Yahweh thy Elohim shall choose. Verse 26, and thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul desireth or lusteth after, for oxen, sheep, or for wine or strong drink, now you be careful about that, or for whatsoever thy soul desireth, and thou shalt eat thereof before Yahweh thy Elohim, and thou shalt rejoice. Thou shalt be in bondage. No, thou shalt rejoice, thou and thy household. And verse 27, and the Levite that is within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him, for he has no part nor inheritance with thee. Deuteronomy 16:13, thou shalt observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days. So that's an instruction for that late summer feast. And Exodus 34, I will cast out the nations before thee and enlarge thy borders. Neither shall any man desire thy land when thou shalt go up to appear before Yahweh thy Elohim thrice in the year. That's three times. Numbers 28:9. And some will say, I will not travel. I will stay here. My home is headquarters or something like that. But that's just a bunch of alibis. Just a bunch of alibis we say to each other. We're saying it to Yahweh. But everybody must come to my abode for the feast, Yahweh says in Numbers 28:9. Yes. The fact is, when we do not go up, we lose so many blessings and opportunities. As we go up to the feast, we take ourselves out from our familiar atmosphere and have some new, exciting experience and get to know others. We think this is a new adventure at first. At first, it's kind of intimidating. We don't like it. The people around us, well, they don't fit in, maybe we think. The unknown. How do I sleep? How do I eat? What about my dog? We are older and may not adapt as quickly as other people to new ideas like this, to traveling maybe 50 miles to a feast place. But then the blessings. I start to confess, yes, Yahweh, thank you. Oh, now I'm getting blessed spiritually and in every way. This is an adventure. I really do love this. These people really appear to love you. I've already helped several people in their walk with you, and several have helped me already. I don't want to leave here. Wait, I don't want to go home. But Yahweh says, this is only a taste. This is a dress rehearsal, a taste of the heavenly here. My son or daughter, you can't stay here forever. You must go back home and get the duties done when the feast is over. But what I gave with you, take home with you, and may you be blessed in Yahweh's name as you travel to the feasts. You know those old-time camp meetings? Back in the 1900s, but Yahweh's feasts are the truth. They are directly appointed to convocate with others and with Yahweh, and with others who may or may not agree with you 100%. Maybe you believe in a different calendar, this calendar or that calendar, or even our names and words might be different. Some still use the common names. Some use Hebrew names. Some are changing. Then there's short hair, long hair, long sleeve, short sleeves. Then there are those who can't travel. Yeah, no sleeveless. Then there are those who cannot travel due to health. Or maybe they've saved no second tithe. The second tithe there that's commanded in, for example, Deuteronomy 12 and in the law and other places. They have no savings because maybe they've already spent it all. It's too late. So perhaps there'd be some excess around that we could help each other with for those who are not able to go up, because sometimes these are somewhat expensive, perhaps a couple of hundred U.S. dollars for all 8 days. But that's very affordable. If we can't afford to part with some of our finances for a spiritual event that Yahweh has commanded us for, what are we going to save that money for? What are we going to get out of life by just putting into artificial material possessions and that will pass away? But these spiritual things and these memories and our families getting to get closer and all, closer to Yahweh, oh, that is, what's the price of that? Anyway, it's much, much more. And he's already paid the price, of course. So you don't build in the Feast of Tabernacles, you don't build a Sukkot in your yard if you're healthy enough and you've got the finances to go up to the feast and somebody is providing for you. You obey the scriptures in Exodus 23. Three times the family goes up. Deuteronomy 12. Oh, and don't forget the offering, the special offering at the feast too, the gift to a worthy, worthy cause of spreading the scriptures, the good news. Zechariah 14, or Zechariah, in chapter 14, talks about the need, the desire to go up to feast with Yahweh himself and with his people. Remember that great feast of Nehemiah, or Nehemiah, in chapter 8. And throughout the book of Nehemiah, oh, a wonderful time. The people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which Yahweh had commanded to Israel, and that they had forgotten. And Ezra and the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women. And all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month, that was the first day of the seventh month, that's Yom Teruah, the blowing of trumpets. Verse 3, he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and women, and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood. So the people went forth and brought them, and they brought them, as they made their booths there for that late summer feast, all the congregation of them, and sat under their booths. For since the days of Yasha, the son of Nun, unto that day had not great gladness, had not the children of Israel done so, and there was very great gladness. Day by day, from the first day, the high day, unto the last day, the second high day, he read in the book of the law of Yahweh, and they kept the feast 7 days. Yes, there's another scripture here that we read earlier today on the Sabbath day about the Passover. And maybe it was Joshua, or maybe it was somebody before him, keeping the feasts. And it says that they celebrated each and every the 7 days. And then I put in 2 days? No, it's not enough. All the 8 days, if we've been properly prepared for it. There's also a provision for a second Passover just a month later. So here in the year 2016, see if I can roll out the old calendar here. And where is that now? I've got the Jews for Jesus calendar. They're about a day early, I think, on these things. If they have a second feast in there, well, they don't. So I'd have to tell you here. Let's see, where is the second month now? We're going to be in with a new moon in just a couple of days now, so that will establish, right after Mother's Day, that will establish I-R-I-Y-Y-A-R, or E-R. And then the 14th, anyway, the 14th of the this next month here, 14th through the 17th is the time that Messiah was in the grave, 3 nights and 3 days. 14th, the evening going into that, would be the resurrection, would be the Passover day. The night before that would be the foot washing, of course. The following evening is the first high day when the children of Israel went out with a high hand. It's found in Exodus. And then you go all the way through the feast, through the 21st there. from the 15th to the 21st. Is that 7 days? So that would be the second day. It looks like probably winding up on Memorial Day in the United States. When we're, Memorial Day, we're supposed to remember the covenant, huh? No, they don't know anything about that, maybe. But that's going to wind up the article there, talking about the wonderful feast days, the three feasts of Yahweh, and the times we had in celebrating it, and lots of exciting things coming up here, huh? So stay tuned. Please tune into the website occasionally, and perhaps there'll be some new. We're an hour into the broadcast so far. There might be some new information there from time to time, but don't expect to have waves being parted and demons spit into bottles. No, don't expect a cataclysmic thing to happen just overnight there in the website. We're doing all of our other things, too, to take care of that. Remember the good times with Yahweh, the memorable family times, the separated convocations, and when he called you out of bondage, when he came to revive us. Here's a hymn here I could read to you about revive us again. So much better than reading the overhead songs, the off-the-wall songs sometimes don't have real depth. Even in the music, even the notes. This is by John Husband, probably written back in the earlier part of the 20th century or something. We praise thee, O Yah, for the son of thy love, for Messiah who died and is now gone above. We praise thee, O Yah, for thy spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and scattered our night. Hallel Yahweh, thine the glory or esteem. Hallel Yahweh, hallel thine the glory, revive us again. All esteem and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has borne all our sins and has cleansed every stain. Next, in the final stanza, revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Praise Yahweh. Thank you very much for listening to this podcast now. And may Yahweh bless you and minister to you and heal the mental or physical problems and help guide you and assist you possibly in financial things, material necessities, provide those things for you. And may the Lamb of Yah assure you that all of your sins, your repented sins, can be taken away, swept away, and your account will be settled. The old account was settled long ago, 2,000 years ago, and that you trust in him and look forward to his great second coming. If you're aware of 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 Peter, the last chapter, all these wonderful times about thoughts and reassurances of the second coming. It's exciting times. I'm going to look up 2 Peter right now. I think that'd be the one to wind up here on the broadcast of YahwehYahweh.name. And this goes in connection with Hosea chapter 6. For 2 days thou hast afflicted us, but in the third day thou shalt lift us up, and we shall live forever in thy sight. We're coming, ladies and gentlemen, upon the 7,000th rest year, so it could be the time that Yahweh will return. Possibly in the next 15 years. It could be that nobody would know what year it could be. It could be another 1,000 or 2 or something. But all the signs, if any, point to in the next 15 years or so when he could come around 2028 or 2030. 2,000 years. Messiah has been gone since around that year 30. 2,000 years later, perhaps he could return. And this is not one of those false warning things like has been advertised and so many books were sold and then discarded. Okay, it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, 8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is equal to 1,000 years. One day is with Yahweh as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Yahweh, not the Lord there, that common word, but Yahweh is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what the message should be every week. Every Sabbath is about repentance. But the day of Yahweh will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away, very noisy, will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of people ought we to be in all separated, or Hebrew Kodesh, conversation and goodliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of Yahweh, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements melting with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. See also Isaiah 66 and all the minor prophets. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Shalom.